Parent Entrepreneur Power, conversation number 44.
Energizing the connection between parenting and entrepreneurship so you can power your success in both, here's your host, who thinks driving an ambulance is easier than parenting two boys, Mary Catherine Johnson.
All right, power parents, I hope you are absolutely powered up and plugged in, because today I have Mary Lou Kayser, who helps entrepreneurs serve more people, have more fun, and make more money. Hey, Mary Lou, welcome to the conversation. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
Well, first of all, Mary Catherine, thank you so much for having me on your show today. I'm really excited about this opportunity because I am a parent entrepreneur, and I know your listeners are as well. And so a little bit about me and my story. I live in the beautiful state of Oregon. I've been in the Pacific Northwest for a long, long time, but I was actually raised on the East Coast, and I like to joke with people that I was born on the wrong side of the country because my spirit was really called to the West when I was 18, and that's how I came out here to go to college. And I've made my home in the Portland, Oregon area. I went the traditional route, a lot of people do, got my degree, then got my grad degree, went into formal education as a high school English teacher, and honestly loved that journey. But I got to a point where I got pregnant with my second child and wanted to be a stay-at-home mom for a while. So I took a leave of absence from the district that I was working with. And when my son was about 18 months old, some things shifted in my family, and I had to go back to work. And so I ended up becoming a college professor and did that for 5 years. And then in 2005 is when I took the leap into entrepreneurship, and I have not looked back since. On a personal note, I am a huge Oregon Ducks fan, love to follow college football, right in the thick of the season right now. And I have two amazing children. One of them is a freshman at the University of Oregon, and my son is a sophomore in high school, so still has 3 years to go at home before he leaves the nest.
Oh my, wow, what a story. So when you say you took the leap, how old were your kids when you took that leap into entrepreneurship?
When I took the leap into entrepreneurship, my son would have been 6 and my daughter would have been 9. They're three and a half years apart.
Yes. Wow. So, you know, they were probably in school, but yet came home after school. And so it was still a bit of a shift, a pretty big shift for you personally and in where your head was in working during the day and their life. Going to school and coming home. So I bet that was a pretty big shift for the family.
It was a big shift for a lot of reasons. First of all, I cut the golden handcuffs, okay, for that part of the income that was coming in because we were a two-income household at the time. And going out on my own was definitely that leap of faith. But from a parenting standpoint, what I liked about it was now I could take my kids to school in the morning and meet them at the bus after school. And when I was working, I couldn't do that. So yes. Right away, that was a positive shift.
Definitely. And in a time when, you know, people, it rightly so, talk about how important parenting is when children are young, like that first 5 years of development and all those things. But now that I'm in, my kids are 13 and 16. So now that I'm in the teen years, I have to say that it goes full circle, and it's just as important to be here, not necessarily to help them develop, but to help guide, because they face so many obstacles, so many options, so many possibilities, and which choices they make. If I'm not here to help them make those choices and kind of debrief with them from how their day goes, I can imagine that it would be a lot harder for them to try and figure out what the right choice would be for themselves. So, you know, it's just as tough in the teen years. And that's when most of us moms who are stay-at-home moms usually think to go back to work because they think the kids are independent. So I bet it was interesting for you to be able to then be home right before all that happened.
You just said something that is so accurate, and that is the teenage years, they actually need us more. There's, a misunderstanding that when they're little, they really need us all the time. I actually disagree with that. I think when they're small, they're better off being in different environments and being exposed to different people, whether it's through a local childcare or you just have a neighbor or a friend who watches your children for a little while to give you a break or to allow you to work on a project. I myself was a latchkey kid. My mom was a stay-at-home mom until I was 14. Right. And then she got an executive job in New York City and was gone all the time. And suddenly the shift from her being there full-time to my father coming home from his teaching job and being the primary parent was a real roller coaster in my growing up. And I did get lost. And so right. I made a commitment to myself as a parent that I wasn't going to do that. Now, that wasn't a bad decision on my mom's part. You know, she was ready for a career. And I look back now and say, absolutely.
Right.
It's just the conversation needs to be really clear and precise as a family about what this means and what the new roles are going to look like and how are we going to continue to communicate, stay in touch, be effective as a family with these new roles.
Yes. And I'm seeing that. And obviously we as parents are only as old as our children. So it's difficult many, many times for us to try and be ahead of this next growth phase, whatever it might be, and the requirements of that growth phase. That's very, very difficult. But once we start seeing signs of these changes, being able to adapt to them quickly is I think the most vital skill you can have, especially with teenagers. It's very, very difficult. But I'm writing a checklist and a course right now, Mary Lou, and what we were just talking about ties right into this because it's exactly the same with our business. Isn't it amazing? You've been in business how many years now?
I've been in business going into my 10th year.
Yes, I've been in online business for 11 years, so we're right there. So isn't it amazing when you had the startup phase, it was exactly like having a newborn? Right? You had
absolutely.
Everything. You had to do absolutely everything. And then through the toddler stages, when you had massive growth, but then you'd kind of fall backwards a step and then massive growth again and learn from that and fall backwards a step. That's kind of the toddler stage. And it's exactly true with our business and teenage years as well. It starts to kind of fly on its own. We have employees and staff or contractors and people that we work with. So it's really managing this multidimensional emotional thing and helping guide it instead of being in the trenches every day changing its diaper, right?
Exactly.
Isn't that amazing how it is so tied? And as we gather these skills, and like we're talking about with teenagers, how important it is, this is probably when, and I've heard this in many other instances from business owners and entrepreneurs, at this stage, at the teenage stage, is when some entrepreneurs lose control of it and really don't know where to go next because they haven't adapted to the flying a bit higher, you know, above the clouds instead of down in the trees, and to be able to develop those skills to fly a little bit higher and just guide the ship rather than be in working in it day to day. And so I can't imagine, I'm sure you could educate me very well on the college stage, and I call that the exit strategy. I have an exit strategy for both my business and for my kids, believe it or not.
No, that's good. That's good. And I think, some things that you say are so spot on. It's amazing. And one of the things you said is the adolescence of a business is very similar to the adolescence of our children. And one of the again, challenges that I have witnessed in other business owners as well as other parents is there's this tendency to want to try to hold on to what was past, some of those moments when your kids were little, like when your business was new and it was in that honeymoon phase and it was exciting. And, you know, when your kids are small and they dress up for Halloween, we're coming up on Halloween, and look around and you see all these little guys, and there isn't one parent whose kids are now in the teenage years or even older who isn't having that those waves of, oh, I remember when my guys were that like that. And in some ways we do that with our businesses as well. The other piece to it is too many parents want to be friends with their kids, and rather than be kind of the CEO and say, you know what, I got to make some tough calls here, you're not going to necessarily like it. Like, no, you can't have your phone because you didn't get your homework done. Or no, you can't go out till 1 o'clock in the morning, and set those boundaries. And it's the same way in our businesses. We have to set boundaries. We have to sometimes step into that role of being the hard guy, you know, saying, I can't do X anymore. It's not serving me, or I'm going to have to let this part of my vision go because I've been spinning on that wheel for too long. And once we do that, and once I like to say, one of the best parenting books I ever read when I was a new parent was actually not a parenting book at all. It was called Good Dog, or what was it? Good Dogs, Great Owners. And it was a book on raising puppies. And I'll tell you, that book is also a great book on starting and growing a business, because the foundational pieces of, again, setting boundaries, establishing who's the boss.
Right.
Okay. Establishing when and where certain things are going to happen and when and where certain things are not going to happen. And entrepreneurship in this day and age can be such a chaotic mess because of the shiny new objects, of all the tools and tricks and shortcuts that were thrown at us day in and day out. And at some point you have to step back and survey the entire scene and realize, okay, I'm on a journey. My kid isn't always going to be like this as a parent, right? This is a phase.
Yes.
But I'm going to push through it. And it's the same thing with the business. You're going to hit that phase where it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. Nothing is going as you want it to be. And it's like that sullen teenager that slammed the door in your face and saying, leave me alone. Happens in business too.
It does. Oh my gosh. Isn't that crazy? The first time that happened to me, it was, I just stood there shocked, like, oh my God, did he just do that? In my own home, I got my door closed in my face. Are you kidding me? Yeah, that's tough, but you are exactly right. It is. I know I keep pounding this same message, but it really, if each stage, if we just figured out what stage our business was in and remembered back to our parenting in that stage, it will help us tremendously to figure it out, because you're right. It's all a phase. Everything is a phase. And we go through life in phases. So why would our business and our parenting be any different? So take me back now, 6 and 9. Take me back to when you started and in your newborn business stage. How did you, I hate the word balance, I have to be honest. It really doesn't depict what I'm talking about, but it's the only word that is recognizable for it. How did you compartmentalize or balance your time and your energy to be able to have a newborn business while you were also raising a 6 and 9-year-old?
Well, I agree. I don't believe in balance. I think it's a middle-class ideal that tries to get us to buy more stuff.
Yes. You know? Yes.
And it's impossible to achieve. But what I did, as I go back to 2005, was when I walked into my director's office in the college that I was working for and handed my resignation letter. And I remember she looked at me and she said, wow, we're really going to miss you around here, Mary Lou. You've been such an instrumental part of this team, of this organization, and I'm sorry to see you go. And she wanted to know why I was leaving. And I said, well, one of the reasons is because I really need to follow this path of starting my own business. And, you know, she was supportive and very, again, didn't try to pull me back. But she did say something that ties into your question, Mary Catherine, and that is that you know, right now you've got a schedule that you can really fit your life into. And when you go out on your own, that's going to all change. And boy, is that true. When you are on your own building a business in the startup phase and are wearing every single hat that we have to wear, from the accounting to the investing to the going out and doing the business development to find clients or to at least get our product, if that's what we're doing, into the hands of potential customers or getting feedback, along with the social media and the website and everything else, that takes a lot of time. And so I would be lying if I said, oh, I had it all figured out in those first couple of years, because I did not. But what I did do, the one thing that I did do, was family always came first, always, because I knew my kids were only going to be at that age for that long. And so I made it a point to calendar all the different events they were in, their school plays, their little concerts that their music class would put on. I think my son at that time was doing Little League, so I made sure that I was at every game. However, while they were at school, that was my work time, and I was really, really disciplined about getting as much as I possibly could, knowing that when they walked in that door from the bus, the energy was going to shift. I wasn't going to be able to make phone calls in the same way. I wasn't going to be able to really focus and concentrate. So I allowed the school schedule to become my work schedule. And then they were still going to bed fairly early, and I would take a little bit of time in the evenings sometimes if I needed to button up a project. But I also wanted to make sure that in the evening I connected with their dad and also myself to just kind of clear my mind. I'm a journaler, and I need that time to just sort through what happened today, even if it was just 5 minutes to scribble down. This is what I accomplished today. This is where I'm headed tomorrow. So again, I don't know. That isn't really balanced, but that's how I managed that early chaos.
Yeah. And it, yeah, you're right. It's not necessarily balanced, but that's why I use for myself kind of a compartmentalize. So I do certain tasks at certain times, and we have to make those choices. And so that's exactly what you're talking about. You made the choice to make school time your work time. And when the kids were home, it was home time. And you worked from home as well?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's even more, that adds another component on it for us to make it a little more difficult, because those lines aren't as clear of work time and home time, because your work time is at home. So out of those skills we've talked about with newborns and toddlers and teenagers and all of that, what do you think is the most important skill that has helped you find success in both your parenting and your business?
Well, I would say anything to do with communication is, you've got to become a great communicator. People can't read our minds, and our kids certainly can't read our minds. And it goes back to what I was saying earlier, is I know if a person grew up in a home where communication wasn't modeled, and then learning to do that as a parent is hard. The good news is we have these amazing things called smartphones now that allow us to stay in touch and communicate in a new way. And I'm a huge texter, and I text my children, and I'm not a helicopter parent by any means, but I also know the world has changed, and the way that we stay in touch and the way that we keep tabs on what our kids are doing, especially if they're out, like your 16-year-old will be. And when my daughter started to drive, same thing happened. I knew that was going to be a shift, and it is. And to parallel it to running a business, there are times when you're going to have to, again, let go of some part of your business, not in a way that it's gone for good, but you have to approach that piece in a different way. And if you don't have the communication skills to articulate what this means, what you're going through, even if it's uncomfortable, mm-hmm. let people know. Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable with your kids and say to them, you know, Mom is going through a lot right now with the business, and I need you guys on board right now. I need you to step up into this role. I can't be in the kitchen as much as I used to be for the next couple of weeks, or I really need you to let me know when you're not going to be home when you said you were, because something came up and changed the schedule.
Right.
It's just modeling that communication and using the tools that we have to do that, and not hiding behind those tools, but working them into the flow of what should be happening anyway, which is checking in. How's it going? What's happening with your homework? What's happening with your friends? Reading their moods and being there to listen to them, just like you would with an employee, or if you have a contractor or you have a VA. Everybody's human and everybody's going to go through stuff. So be sensitive and kind of alert to, ooh, I'm feeling a vibe that isn't your normal vibe. What is going on? Talk to me.
Yes. Yes, that is definitely profound advice. Because you're right. Communication is really the key to any relationship, business, personal. If we can't communicate clearly, nothing's going to get done on any front. And I've really worked to try and help my kids be just as intuitive as I need to be, so that they can understand and see what's going on around them and be able to communicate effectively toward it. And I've had a couple of times where something's stressful going on in the business, or with whatever's going on in life, and my youngest is much more intuitive than my oldest, and he'll come up and say, "Mom, I'm kind of sensing that you're a little stressed." And that, in one sense, is like, wow, you know, my kid's trying to take care of me. but on the other side, it's, wow, thank you for being aware of your environment. And I look back and go, okay, what did I do to give off this vibe? And it's not like I snapped at anyone or, you know, slammed a pan down because I was mad or anything. It's not that. It's just that he sensed the energy change, and he sensed whatever was going on with me and interpreted it as stress. So if he can be intuitive like that with others around him and then be able to articulate that, as you said, wow, how much more ahead of the game is he going to be when he becomes an adult?
Exactly. And that's what we're doing as parent entrepreneurs, is we're modeling for our children a couple of things, big things. There's a lot of things, but two big things is, one, that we're following our passion and we're living our purpose, which is so important. You think about how many children grow up in homes who see their parents so miserable because they're doing something that just is not in alignment with their deepest core. So that's a really amazing gift that we give our kids. And then the second piece is being able to approach raising children and having a family from a spirit of, we are a team. We are a team together. And a team lifts each other up. And not saying that our kids should parent us, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. But our kids can learn to become attuned to the different kinds of energies that are just a natural part of life, so that when they are at school and they might be in the class and maybe their teacher has gone through something, and they can become more sensitive and be more respectful that day and not as wild. When they get out into the world of work, guess what? They're going to be working with every kind of person under the sun. So being able to pick up on those subtle shifts is a tremendous gift and can put them worlds apart from young people that don't ever learn that.
Right. And yes, you're so right. I'm so blessed, and I know you are as well, to be able to really love and just live this life of purpose, to be able to do something that hopefully is going to help people change their own life, change their own destiny, change their own journey. And what better way to do that than also with our children, to show them that? I really do believe that the future is much more entrepreneurial with the advent of the technology that we have. Yes, we can have our kids go to college and learn certain skills and learn the social and the discipline techniques that they will need to be successful in college at whatever level, undergraduate, graduate, and then take those skills and create whatever life they want. We really do have an amazing time that I really do believe that the next step is going to be much more entrepreneurial than it ever, ever has been. What are your thoughts on where your daughter's going with her college education?
Well, my daughter is a really interesting young woman in that really from the get-go, she has known who she is and has stood in her power from day one.
I have just
stood back and been in awe of her personality, her energy. And she has entered college with the intention of becoming a doctor or being something in the medical profession. She, when she was in high school, was part of a program that we're fortunate in our local school system to have a very progressive program opportunities. My son happens to be in an arts and communication magnet school where he can pursue what he loves, which is filmmaking and animation and fine art, along with the core areas of study that all states require young people to, you know, have seat time in.
Yeah.
My daughter, though, has visions of becoming a doctor someday. She was in a health careers program for 2 years in high school, her junior and senior year, while also continuing to study English and math and history and so forth. She is not entrepreneurial like I am. My son, however, is a lot like I am in that he's got both the right and left brain. My daughter is very left-brained. Mm-hmm. She is analytical. She is logical. She is powerful. She is a natural administrator type of personality. And she also is an incredible singer. And so her wow. right brain, that's where her right brain comes in is with music. And she composes and things like that. But honestly, her path is going to be much more traditional. And we need that though. We need people
yes.
to pursue those kinds of opportunities.
Yes, I agree. But I think the opportunities for young people who want to be entrepreneurial are just so vast. It's really amazing the opportunities available now and the barriers, many of the barriers are taken away. So tell me a little bit about what it is you're doing and how that can help parent entrepreneurs be more successful. You talked about serving more people, having more fun, and making more money. What is your entrepreneurial story now?
Well, right now, my business is all about working with people and teaching them skills that are beyond the, again, shiny new objects. I love technology, and I do actually teach courses to local small businesses and entrepreneurs on very basic things like how do you build your email list? Because believe it or not, a lot of people don't really know how to do that. You and I have been living in the online space and understand a lot of these things, but the majority of people really still don't.
Right.
So that's a component of my business. But one of my areas of expertise and specialty that I really focus in a workshop type environment, both online through webinars, but also locally live and in person, is I help entrepreneurs identify, develop their signature story. Storytelling is so central to everything that we do. And it's a piece that's often either not known about or overlooked in pursuit of getting all the systems set up, all the you know, the website and kind of the sexy stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the foundational piece, that core of who you are and what you're about and how can you communicate that to the world often gets glossed over. And so I do a deep dive into helping small business owners, entrepreneurs, and in the corporate side of things, team managers use storytelling to leverage their next initiative, whatever that may be.
Wow. And I agree that is something missing for a lot of people. And to be honest, you can help someone with email list building and making their website look where it, what it needs to look like, and social media and all that stuff. But if when someone lands on their site, they are not clearly understanding why they are there and whether or not this particular person or site can help them in what they need, if they don't clearly understand that, all the email list building techniques and social media techniques in the world will not help that person take advantage of what's in front of them because it's not clearly in front of them. So yeah, developing the story and being able to tell that story effectively is vital. It's the piece that is unfortunately overlooked, but it is one of the most important.
It is. It's right up there with writing your vision and mission statement, which is another thing that often gets glossed over or not done in pursuit of getting the business up and running. Right. And yet if you don't have that and a story, your story is central to, you know, why are you in business? And where are you going with this? What are you trying to accomplish? There's a story there, and it's grounded in that. In fact, yesterday I was speaking to a group here locally of people who are in career transition. And anytime I open a presentation, I tell my moment of truth story, my core signature story, because it is applicable to so many different situations. And that's one of the things that I help people do is find that one story that you can use in all kinds of situations, whether you're pitching an investor to get funding for your startup or that next level, whether you are actually going out and speaking in your community as a means of business development, whether you are conducting a webinar to lead people into your next online program. Having a story that is clear, that is descriptive, that is in some ways kind of jugular, it goes to that deepest part of us, is going to set you apart from everybody else who just takes the aerial view or focuses on facts and figures. And quite frankly, that's facts and figures are okay if they're woven into a larger presentation, but if that's the foundation of any person's delivery, it's no wonder people aren't closing as many deals as they like. It's boring.
Right. Exactly. So tell me, you've got me curious now, Mary Lou, what is that core story for you?
Well, my core story is when I was 20 years old, I worked as a rafting guide in Alaska. And one night I found myself stuck in my raft on a gravel bar with 3 hours still ahead of me worth of mission critical work for the team that I was a part of, because that summer I worked as an apprentice for a small outdoor adventure company in Alaska, and it was my job to take the gear boat loaded with 10 tents, 20 sleeping pads, 3 coolers jammed with food, water jugs, a cord of wood, a kitchen, a porta potty, and my stuff, take it down to a remote island at the mouth of the Kenai River and set up base camp for those 16 guests, 3 other guides and myself. Now, these guests had paid upwards of $5,000 apiece to go on what really was a trip of a lifetime. And they expected to walk in to base camp the following day with everything set up. And here I was, an experienced guide, that this was not my first trip. I had gone down that stretch of river before, and because I had stopped paying attention and took some things for granted, I found myself in that jam, and I was scared, I was embarrassed, and I sat there and I realized I had 2 choices. I could either wait 18 hours, just sit there and wait 18 hours for the rest of my party to come, because there was no chance of any other rafter boat coming down the river that night. It was too late in the evening, and it was a true wilderness area. Or I could break one or both of the rules of river rafting that had been ingrained in my head when I learned to be a rafting guide in Alaska. The first rule is, never do you ever take an oar out of its oar lock. Why? Because the oars are your instruments of navigation. And if you don't have control of your raft, that's when trouble can occur. You can get spun around, go through a rapid backwards, flipped over, and what many people don't realize is the number one cause of death on Alaskan rivers is not drowning. It's actually hypothermia, because the Kenai, like a lot of rivers in Alaska, are fed by glaciers. So in the middle of the summer, top temperatures are only 55 degrees Fahrenheit, and the human body just can't sustain life for very long at that temperature. So the other rule is never do you get out of the raft unless you're getting out onto land in a gravel bar. Unfortunately, it doesn't count as land. So I sat there and I didn't have anybody to talk to. I didn't have a buddy or anybody. So I looked up and I said, God, you see me? Hi, it's Mary Lou. And I am in a jam. And I know you have bigger things in store for me. So I'm going to trust you're going to give me the nod. And I'm going to go for it. And I sat there and I looked around at this amazing place. And I thought, if this is where I go, I can't think of really any nicer place. But I knew that there were bigger things. And so the first thing I did, Mary Catherine, was I removed the oar. I figured that was the lesser of two evils. I tried to jam it into the gravel bar like a gondolier might push their gondola along. And I did not have the strength. The raft was just too heavy. And then I knew I was going to have to get out. And that's when I really lost track of time. Everything slowed down. The pulse in my ears was so loud that I really wasn't even hearing anything. And honestly, what happened in the next couple of minutes really probably was a couple of minutes, but it felt like I was in slow-mo.
Yeah.
As I got out of the raft, I had rubber boots on. The cold of the river just cut through. I could feel the weird feeling of the gravel shifting under me as I walked behind the raft. And it was a pontoon raft. So there was a aluminum frame with a plywood floor connecting two very large pointy pontoons. And I positioned myself between the pontoons and just kept pushing my body against this loaded raft until finally it lifted. And I probably had 30 seconds to leap from the gravel bar back onto the raft, scramble on top of this pile of cargo and get back between the oars and, you know, get on my way. And obviously I'm telling you this story today, so there was a happy ending, but honestly, you know, that should not have happened. And, you know, the takeaways that I leave with people are very simple. Number one, conditions are going to change on us and it's up to us to stay on top of what those conditions are. You know, it's nobody else's fault if we get ourselves into a jam. It's a hard, hard lesson for people to really absorb, but really we are 100% responsible for everything that happens to us. And it was my fault. I got lazy. I got complacent. I'd made that trip and boom, I found myself stuck. Second takeaway is that sometimes you are going to have to break some rules to move to the next level or to move forward to that goal that you've got staring at you. It may be mission critical, it may not be, but the reality is, and I'm not talking about things that are illegal or immoral. Okay. I'm not advocating for people to go break laws. I'm just saying you're going to feel uncomfortable because it might be something that you thought you had to do a certain way. And maybe that's not the best way anymore. Maybe you're going to have to step out of that. And then the third takeaway is no one is coming to rescue you, period.
Right.
You know?
Right.
There just isn't somebody that's going to come rescue you. And we as humans want to believe that, oh, if only that, if you find yourself saying, if only I could, if only I had, that's a sign that you're wanting somebody to rescue you. So you got to change the framing and say, what can I do to get out and move ahead?
Oh my goodness. Mary Lou, thank you. I'm so glad that I was curious and wanted to hear that story because it was so wonderful. I loved the gravel shifting under your feet. I was right there. I've been in rivers. I've been on gravel bars and sandbars, and I know that feeling. And life does that to us sometimes, doesn't it? Where we think our foot is on something solid and it shifts in a way that goes with the tide. tide or goes with the current. And we have to adapt and adjust our footing to get there. What an amazing story. And yes, I'm glad it ended in happy. And you're here to tell us about it. And we all have a story like that. And if you had that story and you just said, gosh, one day I was stuck on a gravel bar and I had to get stuff delivered downriver and I had to get out of the boat and actually push it when I really wasn't supposed to, but I actually did it and jumped back on and everything was fine. Well,
yeah,
you would hear what we just heard, which was silence. That's not really the story. The feelings you were in, we can all resonate with those things. The feelings of our children as they're growing, we've been there. It doesn't mean that we have to make them do things a certain way. It means that we can take those feelings and adapt our journey and determine our journey to help them navigate that, to help them navigate their world. And it's the exact same thing with our business. We all had those feelings of everything you described, from knowing what we were supposed to do and then having to change that and go, okay, I'm supposed to do this, but now I've got to do something different, and be able to adapt and grow and navigate our business. What an amazing story to end on, and how wonderful that you were able to totally bring it to the exact level that parent entrepreneurs need. Thank you so much. I am just so honored that you were able to spend this time with us today. And I just want to say, I can't wait to continue seeing where you go and how you influence entrepreneurs and their story. I'm so excited about how everything's going to develop and change. Do you have any parent that's sitting on the fence and thinking, gosh, I kind of want to do this, and they were absolutely inspired by the story you just gave? Do you have any last parting piece of guidance for that person who's trying to determine whether they're going to jump off that fence onto the entrepreneurial side and do it?
I would say that life really is short, but it's a fantastic journey. And one of my mantras, Mary Catherine, is why not? Why not go for it? Why not give it your best shot? The worst thing that can happen is you look back and say, oh, interesting, that was quite an experiment. And I guarantee you, no matter how it turns out, you're going to have grown, you're going to have learned something valuable, and you just don't know unless you go for it. So why not?
Fantastic. What a wonderful, wonderful mantra. I'm definitely going to have to also keep that for my children because I think they could definitely benefit from that too. Well, Mary Lou, thank you. Thank you again for spending this time with us. I can't wait for people to listen to this. They're going to just have a great time.
Well, thank you, Mary Catherine. It was my pleasure.
Well, power parents, I absolutely had a blast chatting with Mary Lou. And yes, we definitely talked about how I'm Mary Catherine, she's Mary Lou, we're the two Marys. So it was a blast. But I really want to leave you with a couple of things. First off, I'm going to give you a little assignment. I need you to start thinking about and then tell me about your story. I really want to know what your story is. And you heard Mary Lou talk about her story and the importance of it and what it imparts to the world about not just who she is, but what her significance is in her business, in her life, and how she can translate that story into helping others. So, power parents, what's your story? Let's start with the business side and really craft your story. What happened in your life that brought you to where you are right now? You've heard me, if you've heard any of these podcasts, you've heard me talk about a little bit about my story, but I'll go into that in more depth in another episode. I believe it's coming up episode number 48. So a few episodes from now. And I'm going to go very, very much in detail about my story and how I got to where I am talking to you right now. But I want to hear yours and what has brought you to listening to this podcast right now. And what are you going to do with that story? How are you going to develop it into serving others and helping others and building your business, and at the same time, being the amazing parent that I know you are. So go to parententrepreneursuccess.com/PEP044. And at the bottom, I have a little giveaway for you, a little handout, a little worksheet. You can call it what you like, but it's a prompt to specifically help you tell your story. Start thinking about and actually write down your story and where it's going to lead you. And I can't wait to see. If you already have an idea of where that is, please leave it in the comments that accompany this podcast. And also, I encourage you to connect with Mary Lou, because she's got this down. Oh my goodness, so much better than I ever could. This is her domain. So please go to the website again, parententrepreneursuccess.com/PEP044. And at the bottom, you will see how you can connect with Mary Lou. And I know she would be very, very happy to help you develop that story and find your voice in this parent entrepreneur journey. So my friends, thank you for joining us today and listening in and contributing. I am having so much fun listening to your contribution, reading your contributions, your comments, the Twitter feed, the wonderful feedback I'm getting. And please keep it coming. Go to iTunes, leave me an honest review. Tell me what you think. Go to the website, and I have a suggestion box at the bottom of both the blog and the podcast so that you can give me an idea of what you would like to hear so that these podcast episodes bring you the most value possible. All right, my friends, until next time, enjoy the journey.
Thank you for listening, and visit parententrepreneursuccess.com for more power tools.